Welcome to Investor Resources with your hosts, Don Creech and Perry Sykes, who both realize that the market doesn't know what keeps you up at night. It doesn't know when you want to retire, and it doesn't know how old you are. The simple truth is, the market doesn't care. But if you care, then you've tuned in at the perfect time. You're listening to Investor Resources, bringing clarity to the confusing world of finance. Here are your hosts of Investor Resources, Don Creech and Perry Sykes.
Well, good morning. This is Don Creech.
And this is Perry Sykes. Welcome to the show, everyone.
So we are back with the version one on today's program. That's the live call-in radio right now, and you can call in and talk to us, ask a question about the market, your portfolio, a recommendation has been made to make a change. That number is 888-312-5757. 888-312-5757. Part two starts at 9:15 today. That's 15 minutes after we are off the air. We are doing our monthly stock market update. And there have been a lot of things going on to talk about this month. So we have a whole bunch of questions that have been raised during the this last week. We try to address those today. If you have not registered yet, go to our website, iriradio.com. Lower left-hand corner is the place with to get started to register. A couple of clicks and your email address, and you will get a link to join us shortly after the show. If you cannot join us because you have other plans, but you are interested in learning more about the market and what's up with the election and its impact, then register anyway, because we will send you a replay link that will let you watch it on your own time. And you can still ask questions. All you have to do is send them to us by email, and that's help at iriradio.com, iriradio.com. For immediate response, well, semi-immediate, because you got to get through Mike on the control desk, but give us a call here this morning at 888-312-5757. The lines are open now that the car guy's gone. Just pick up the phone and give us a call. Now, the one thing that everybody sooner or later says to us, don't you guys have a crystal ball? You know, that's why I'm here. Handy, I need right? a crystal yeah. ball.
By the way, what's the future look like?
And you turn around and just look at all the things that have gone on this year that were totally unexpected. We had, well, a lot of it is because of the COVID virus that shown up. Nobody knew that was coming until it broke out of Wuhan, China. And then the whole world fell apart, basically. You know, I've done some digging with regard to pandemics because of where we are. I mean, we're sitting here still trying to figure out as a world and specifically as a country and more specifically as a state, what on earth are we supposed to do here? And actually, this is the first time that the world has said, we just close the doors, shut everything down, and let's see if that works. Because we have been here before, but never made that decision.
Sure.
I mean, there was a 1918, but more recently, and I don't remember this. I was a little kid. 1957-58 pandemic, which was the H2N2 virus, and it was called the Asian flu. It was a type of bird flu, and it was supposed to kill 1 million people. The estimates are it killed 1 million people and a little over 100,000 here in the United States. Well, so what do we do with that? Well, we study it, and then 1968 shows up, and we get the H3N2, another avian flu coming out of Asia. So we study that. Then we get 2009. That was the H1N1 pandemic, and we study that. So the CDC and governments have had plenty of time to study this. And in the past, what they've done is said, let's find out who's vulnerable and who's sick. If they're sick, we quarantine them until we know what's going to happen. If they're vulnerable, we warn them, but we go on about our business. Well, the study said, what if we just lock everything down? Will that stop the spread? So we've never tried this before, but here we are. And that brings us right up to a mess in the middle of another mess called an election. So knowing the outcome of either one in advance is not possible. This is where we are involved in responding to events and adjusting. You know, we have a quote on our website. We use it in numerous places from John Maynard Keynes, an economist, kind of responsible for the way things work around the world today. And the quote we like is, when the facts change, I change my mind. What do you do, sir? You keep on going? I mean, that'd be like a pilot running in headlong into a hurricane and saying, yeah, it's okay. Be a little bumpy, but we just make it through. Yeah, well, I'll be the last time you fly on that plane with that pilot.
Doesn't make much sense. And you kind of wonder in 2020, you're talking about the lockdown for the virus. And then it seems to me anyway, it just keeps coming back all over the world. So I don't think lockdowns are doing any good. They're not making any progress. And we don't have to continue down a path that we know didn't work again, just because that's where inertia is taking us. So hopefully we'll take a different tack and not just close everything again. Like you said, Don, protect people that have the biggest effect of the flu, and then everybody else just kind of muddle through. Those numbers don't seem to change much, and so I'm not sure lockdown really accomplishes much except for destroying the other part of people's lives, you know, taking their jobs away, and that can be even worse.
Well, you know, it doesn't take, well, even a 9-year-old can figure out that he doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And so when we look at the elections, I mean, who would have guessed that? Well, maybe there were some hints that we were going to end up in a mess this year. But who would, with regard to the market, who would have ever guessed that with the mess that we are in, that we would end up having the best day ever after a presidential vote?
Pretty amazing. You know, like I said, if you knew ahead of time that we were going to have election trouble, we weren't going to have an outcome, we were going to have problems with slow counts, we were going to have a gridlock Congress, would you be thinking that, well, that means market's going to be great, we're going to have no president, gridlock Congress, almost none of the outcomes holding true to the initial polling information, so a whole left field election, and that ended up being a fantastic for the market. That you just wouldn't have guessed that going in, and so sometimes even that crystal ball wouldn't help you much with the market.
So there are a lot of people who had hedges on. They had placed bets on that were the opposite of what they would normally do, and you know, that whole process gives them perhaps an illusion of control. But what's driving all of this is fear and greed. Bottom line, fear and greed, that's what drives the market most of the time. And it's okay as long as you don't go overboard.
Sure.
If you lose a little, not a big deal. If you lose a lot, that's a big deal. And that's one of the reasons we don't use modern portfolio theory, is because when things start getting out of control, you can lose a lot. And the resolution is just wait out recovery, whether in this year, it was only a few months, you know, half a year. But if you go back to the last bear market, you know, it took 7 years. And the one before that took 14 years. And the one before that took almost 20 years. I mean, and you don't want to do that. Because
you really don't. And, you know, that's one of those areas where people don't adjust. The facts change and they don't change their mind. That modern portfolio theory, if your advisor handed you that pie chart when you signed up, if things are not going well in your portfolio, if in fact you are losing money and you really don't understand why don't you guys do something different? Well, they don't. They don't change what they're doing. It's, well, this is really not working right now, but in another decade, it'll probably be fine. So we're just going to keep doing this thing that's costing you money now. Oh, by the way, we're still going to charge you for that. And even though it's not working at all for you, that's what we're going to do because that's our plan and we don't change. That doesn't seem like a very reasonable outlook, but that's what it is.
So as the market's dropping, you're thinking, I shouldn't be that aggressive. I mean, I should be more conservative. So you see the advisor and you say, I think I was way too aggressive in my answers. And so let's do the risk questionnaire again. You answer them and there's two outcomes, one of which is your answers are essentially the same as they were before. And you're told we are where we're supposed to be. And you're saying, but my account's fallen apart. So how do I make my answers so you give me a more conservative account? And you change your answers, then they change the model, typically at the bottom of the market, and the market goes up and you're saying we're not in the market. Well, you answered with conservative risk questions, so we're in a conservative account. Well, I need to participate. Well, let's change your answers. So once you change the answers, basically you're telling the advisor what to do on your behalf, but he's not going to make a change when the market changes unless you give instruction. And that's substantially different than looking at a market portfolio that is driven by market-generated information instead of your emotional response to current conditions. And current conditions here are going to change at 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
We're going to go ahead and get out of here for a break. I'd like to remind everyone that today is our market update webinar right after the show today. About 9:15, we'll be back online. You still have plenty of time to register for that. Just go to IRIradio.com. That is IRIRadio.com. Head on over to the webinar page and give it a click. You'll get a link right back in your email. And at 9:15, go ahead and click that, and you'll be live online with us, and you'll get to see what we're talking about today. We're going to cover a lot of information about the election and its impact, where we go from here. Anyway, you can get all those updates today. Just go to IRIRadio.com, register for today's webinar, and we will see you just after the show. We have plenty of time to talk to you this morning. If you've got a question about your portfolio or the economy, anything, even individual securities that are giving you a hard time, you'd like a second opinion on, give us a call here, 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Live and local, you're listening to Investor Resources. This is your opportunity to call in and have your questions answered. The lines are open at 1-888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Or email your question to help at IRIRadio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometimes. When you take, you gotta give.
Well, we're in the season for the rain and the sun, and so is the market. I mean, this has had, this last 2 months, we've had plenty of rain and brief moments of sunshine, and then a little more sprinkling in the system. It has been one of extremes. And one of those extremes has been how well the country has done after how terribly it had done in the second quarter of the year. And it's called gross domestic product. And it basically is so extreme on both ends, it's going to make reading future charts virtually worthless. You're going to have to figure out how to read numbers.
But there used to be so much time spent and so much reporting done on what this quarter's GDP number was going to be. You know, it's going to be, and a change from 3.6% to 3.5% was a big slowdown. And what are we going to do? Well, what are we going to do? And now we've had a 30-point swing in GDP. 30%, you know, it's down 30.
Well, that's annualized.
It's unbelievable change. So it's like, is that number really important? And the big thing is that, you know, once they turned part of the economy back on, it bounced right back. So is that a meaningful number? Does it really matter? Is it something we should be following? You know, we talked about this last week, Don, price of crude oil, you know, went negative per barrel there for delivery in 1 month's futures, and nothing happened. These extreme swings are starting, I think, to really bring to light the fact that a lot of these numbers just don't matter that much, and that we're spending a lot of time following things that really aren't that important.
Well, you know, just thinking about this, Perry, part of the reason may be the shift in way investors put money in the market. They have become, as a general rule, less concerned about corporate cash flow and profits, and they're basically looking at macro numbers. Well, we look at macro numbers.
Sure.
But when you look at the shift from active management to just indexing, I don't care what's going on underneath. It's the index. The index is going up along the index. I don't have to take time to find out if the companies in the index are actually making money or going bankrupt. That doesn't concern me.
Doesn't matter.
Well,
sure.
You know, that's the 30,000 foot view. And so there's just a lot less attention paid on that. And we're looking at these GDP numbers, and what we should be more concerned about is the underlying structure of the market and whether or not these companies are actually going to survive, and many of them are not. And here in the United States and in Europe, we have done, on the government level, basically bailout programs. You take a look at Mexico and Central and South America, the airlines that they have down there, most of them are just bankrupt. And they're in bankruptcy action. The government is saying, that's your problem. You have investors. You deal with them. It's not our problem as a government to bail out private companies. Called capitalism, I think.
I believe it is. Yeah.
Occurring south of the border.
Correct. It's like, hey, good luck with that, guys. Well, let us know how that turns out. But, you know, we're not going to intervene.
So if you have not registered for today's webinar, you are missing out on a lot of updated information. Go to our website, iriradio.com. Lower left-hand corner, you'll find the place to start a couple of clicks. Enter your email, and you will get a registration link. If you cannot join us today, we will know you registered, and we will send you a replay link to watch it as a replay. When you can't find anything good on TV to entertain you, we will.
That'll do it.
IRIradio.com. If you want to talk to us today, we have an open phone line. It's 888-312-5757. 888-312-5757. Yeah, so we need to basically spend more time looking at the underlying numbers. And part of that is that even though we had a really strong quarter with the GDP was up on a quarterly basis, 9%, and that's big coming from a negative 7.4 in the prior quarter. That's a big swing.
Big swing, yeah.
However, GDP numbers are growth for this economy. We have resurrected it back to 2018 levels. We are not anywhere close to regaining the strength that we had coming into this year.
Correct. A long way to go, and while the recovery has been nice, like you said, we're nowhere near pre-pandemic numbers in the economy yet. That's going to take a while to get that growth back, if it does come back to the same level.
That's one of the reasons we're still quite concerned about the market. I mean, we have stepped back in because the market is rising. Well, basically, the indices are rising. The Dow's up, the S&P's up, and the NASDAQ's up. Because there are a handful of stocks, a handful of companies that have been getting a lot of money thanks to the Fed and its quantitative easing program, where they dump a whole bunch of money in the really big investment banks and say, here, guys, help us out. Make it look like things are good. We don't want people to panic. Not yet. Maybe have to a little bit later. But the rest of the market, we're going to show you the charts here that show that while it looks like the market is has just come out of ER and isn't going to have to go through recovery. It's going to come out of ER, get off of its operating bed, and walk out of the hospital and get on a motorcycle and take a trail ride. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do. But he's actually not that healthy. Mr. Market has some real serious problems that persist that have been hidden by all this quantitative easing money. We're going to show you charts that explain why we're telling you that. So if you haven't registered, go to iriradio.com. You've got to open up your computer and a browser and, you know, get there. iriradio.com. Lower left-hand corner of the website is the place to start. A couple of clicks in your email and you will be admitted to the webinar, either now or as a late arrival watching the replay. But this lockdown has really cost a lot of money, cost a lot of lives that are unrelated to the virus. I mean, nobody, when they started the lockdown, thought it was going to end up this long or this broad. But companies are still trying to figure out how to survive. I've got some notes here. I already covered the stuff on the Asian flu. That was, you know, so what we're looking at here is the vaccine is, there's actually one company, I think it's AstraZeneca in Britain, along with Oxford University. They actually think they're going to have a vaccine approved by the end of the year. But approval does not mean distribution. That's another problem. And whether or not the market can continue to advance with unresolved political issues remains
there's
unknown.
A few of those out there still, correct? Politics is not exactly settled, and hopefully, I hope, like I said earlier, I hope what is settled is that a huge lockdown in response to a virus just isn't a reasonable response. You can't just tell everybody don't do anything. We can't keep supporting all those people. I mean, we're spending literally trillions of dollars trying to pay people to stay home, and it doesn't net us out any gain. There's not, when we're done spending all the money, there's nothing's been gained. That we still have the virus, we still have the lockdown, and those lockdowns cause real long-term harm. They really do damage the economy. They damage, like I said, Don, so many businesses that are still open out there that aren't going to be. They're not going to make it. They're not going to come back. And at some point, we're going to have to deal with that if we're going to keep everybody out of the economy to the degree we have. Those businesses are not ever even going to have the opportunity to come back, and that changes the way the economy works, and it's a big negative.
And those businesses that do not reopen, that means there's an awful lot of jobs that people do not get back. You have to have a growing economy that expands business, so it has a need for more people on employment, not unemployment, but on employment, where they get paid for working. I mean, part of this big boost in our GDP was a function that the government borrowed a ton of money from around the world, and they distributed it around the country, and that money largely got spent, which was what the purpose was. And that was part of it, and the net result is we now owe a whole bunch more than we ever did before. We basically have taken future economic growth and said, we need to patch what we just messed up and spread the money around. Are we going to get another bill like that? Probably. Probably fairly soon, once the presidential issue is resolved and a couple of deals in the Senate. So a lot of that money was spent fighting the virus, and we needed ventilators, we needed protective equipment. We built field hospitals, made payments to the hospitals for COVID patients. But a good portion of it, in fact, I think the majority of it, was used to support small businesses and workers during this period of time when they could not be at work or have their business open. To put this in perspective, non-defense spending in 2020, that means it's not going to the military, was 40% larger than the previous peak back in 2009. That's the last time we actually really made an effort to pump money into the economy. And this process cannot continue. And that's part of the reason I've had numerous calls in the last couple of weeks saying, don't we need to buy gold because the dollar's going to crash?
It has to crash.
And we're going to go bankrupt as a country. Well, it's anything's possible, but since nobody around the world has gold as a currency, that's not the solution. It is back up to the June 11 prices, but you just think about that. It's been 9 years in a trough and finally got back to even after 9 years of being out of favor.
That's a long time to wait for something to return. That's too long to just let it sit in your portfolio and be a drag on returns. That's something that you need to do something about. But if you're a dedicated gold bug, you probably won't. You're just gonna hang in there. We are at the bottom of the hour here, Don. Time for us to get out of here. I'd like to remind everyone, after the show today, we are having our monthly What's Up with the Market update. You can register for that at IRIradio.com. Just go to IRIradio.com, head to the webinar page. A couple of clicks, you will be registered, and you'll get a link in your email to log back in right at about 9:15 and be part of the webinar. We have plenty of time to answer your questions there, so if you've got questions about the economy or the markets or a particular security that is giving you pause, go ahead and log in and get ready with your questions, and we'll get to those. You are listening to Investor Resources here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Investor Resources. Check out our website at IRIradio.com and log on for a free report. That's IRIRadio.com. Don and Perry are waiting to answer your questions now at 1-888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757.
There's a muddy road ahead, detour. Paid no mind to what it said, detour. All these bitter things I find should have read.
Yeah, there's a muddy road ahead. Apparently, Pennsylvania has just been, AP is called the...
How about that?
For Mr. Biden, which is interesting because it's one of the contested states, along with the swing states. Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Wisconsin have all been up for grabs. And part of the issue here is you have to wonder, because Mr. Biden pulled fewer votes in these four states than Hillary did. He pulled fewer votes than Obama did, and yet, and they have a red swing going on at lower levels inside the state, but he has more votes. What we really need to know is how many people are actually registered to vote and how many votes are actually there. That is a problem in several other states. It'll be interesting to see. This is just going to be muddy for a while, and it really doesn't matter which one of these two men become the next president. Both of them are going to be facing difficulties in the aftermath. If Biden wins, he's going to face accusations of fraud and rigging. But if President Trump wins, he's going to face accusations of theft and voter suppression. So it's going to be a muddy road for a long time.
Only about 4 years, and then we'll get to do this again. Okay,
starting. Oh,
that's,
yeah,
that's fun. Yeah, all of a sudden, those 4 year terms may seem too short. It's like, do we really have to do this again in 4 years? Come on, can't we do something else?
Well, let's get back to investments.
Why not?
Because politics are what they are, and that's not our business. All we do is vote and pray for the best outcome. So when you're taking a look at investments, one of the things that most people never actually keep track of is how well are we really doing? Virtually nobody keeps track of it. I remember having, when I was a broker, I had a client who did. I mean, every month for years, he had a notebook and he knew what his net worth was. He kept track of it. The only problem that I thought Gene had was he kept adding money to his account and he calculated it as part of his return.
So that does help the return number look pretty good. Yeah. Additions of new capital.
this is the difference between what I think should happen and reality. I'm basically kidding myself, and that is not a good way to figure out whether or not your system is working. You need a system keeping track of what you're doing, and we do that. I mean, every night I go through a lot of data and I post it in a file. I basically am archiving this stuff. So if I ever have to go back and say, well, now why did I make that decision? And what was the return at that point in time? What is it now? I've got records to be able to go back and dig through it.
Yeah. Sure. We always tell clients, if you ever want to know why we did something, anything in your portfolio, any trade that happened, we're going to have information documented, saved for posterity about, hey, this is what we were looking at. This is why the decision got made. This is why the timing occurred where it did, because it's important. If you're, especially if you're managing other people's money, it's important to keep that data. You have to be able to go back and say, well, this is what was going on and this is what we did. You know, was that a good idea or not? That's how you get better at this. You keep looking at the process you use to make your decisions and see if you need to change anything going forward or if everything worked fine. It's like, okay, we're good here. But the only way to know that is to actually capture the data. And like I said, Don, we capture a lot of data every day and about the market and about what we own, and that's the kind of level of information you need to really get a good sense of what is really going on and not just what does this feel like, because those can be very different things.
We have a call from Carl in Seattle. Carl, you're on the air with Don and Perry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I have a kind of a general question having to do with distribution from IRAs and other deferred income. I heard that it's not required to take the RMDs this year. Is that true?
That is true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can still take it if you want the income, but if you do not need it, you can leave it in your account.
And does it have to be made up then in subsequent years, or is it just kind of a holiday?
It's a holiday.
Okay.
Yeah. That's part of the changes that were made back in response to COVID when it came back in February. I forget what CARES Act.
The CARES Act, yeah.
Yeah. So
thought I remembered that, but I haven't heard any reference to it in several months. And you get old, you remember lots of things that didn't happen.
But see, Carl, you are correct. You remembered that it happened, and it did happen, and you've got it right. Good for you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, as I say, I remember most things that didn't happen.
But that's a good question, Carl.
I have a couple of them. One of them, a small one, rolled in automatically, but I won't be penalized for paying part of it and not the rest of it.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So
you're in the clear.
Just go on and wait for next year to come and hit me from another angle.
Yeah. So if you're on a monthly deal, you can, if you stop it, and then you would need to restart it in January. So it gets, so you're okay for next year, because next year is, they're going to want to collect the taxes. That's why there is a required minimum distribution. They figure gave you a free ride during accumulation. It's now time to get their money in their pocket. I mean, that's the view of government. It's their money. It's not yours.
I understand they wanted it. I've been paying these things for 25 years since I retired. So
there you go.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you, Carl. Well, that frees up a line. The magic numbers, 888-312-5757, 888-312-5757. You'll also be able to answer questions, ask questions. Well, we could, maybe they can give us an answer. Ask questions after our webinar today. If you have not registered, go to iriradio.com, lower left-hand corner, and a couple of clicks in your email address, you will get an admission link to get you into the webinar, which is actually running right now. We have our, what I call the cartoon file up. Some of them are cartoons. Some of them are just absolutely gorgeous pictures of nature and some special interest stuff. But so you can go ahead and register, get your link, and log in, and you'll be ready to go when we get logged in after this show is over. Let's see. Are you worrying about the right thing? And most of the time, that's no. You're not worrying about the right thing. People worrying about the volatility of the stock market, they are ignoring the bond market. Mm-hmm. And most people, not our clients, but most people are using bonds as a risk management tool. That's part of modern portfolio theory. And one of the new accounts that came in this week from another advisor, we had talked about it, and he looked at it, and he said, absolutely, that's what they have my account set up with. I said, well, if you look at the yield on bonds, the reason it's in your portfolio, besides the fact it's part of the theory, is that bonds have been very attractive basically since 1979 when Paul Volcker changed the way the Fed manages money to break the back of inflation back in the 70s. And interest rates have been falling since. Now, they bounce up and down, but the trend has been down. They're down 95% in that time period. So the bond model, in order to use it for risk management, you must assume from these levels, interest rates will fall at least 90% over the next 30 years. If you want to take that bet, we should talk.
That's tough. That's tough. But that is the assumption going forward. And that's why having that big slug of bonds in a portfolio these days just doesn't make any sense. It's not going to return enough to make it worth having in your portfolio. And most of them, if you're a long-term investor, if you're going to hold a 10-year treasury for those 10 years, after inflation, you're going to be losing money. That's a money-losing investment. So you're guaranteeing a built-in loss. That's not what they're in the portfolio for. And that's not the return assumption that most advisory software uses to build those portfolios. But those returns are not going to be there going forward. They just can't be. We can't have interest rates falling 90% from this level. It doesn't make any sense, especially for 30 years. It's just not going to happen.
Plus, we have the anomaly that it's referred to as the risk-free rate of return. Well, if the risk-free rate of return is negative, I mean, it means you're losing money, how risk-free is that?
There you go. There is substantial risk there, which is why right now, no matter how old you are, there are no bonds in any of the portfolios that we manage. That doesn't mean there never will be. It just means right now, that's not a reasonable thing to have in your portfolio, especially if it's there because you think it's going to take care of some risk for you. There's far more danger there than there is in the stock market just because of where interest rates are and the yields are so low to begin with.
You know, 80% of bonds today yield less than 1%. That means 80% of the bonds in the market today have a negative real rate of return. And with that...
Let that sink in for a second. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can think about that while we take a break. We've got we're up against our last break of the morning. We have a full segment left. Plenty of time to get your questions up. Give us a call at 888-312-5757. It's 888-312-5757. And you still have time to register for today's webinar. Just go to iriradio.com. go to the webinar page, and a couple of clicks, you'll be registered. And after 9 o'clock, after we're off the air, just click that link, and you'll be live back online with us to head through our material and get your questions answered. So we'll give everyone a little more clarity than they have right now, because things are up in the air. Things are changing fast. Anyway, just go to IRIradio.com. That's where you can get registered. We've got one segment remaining this morning. Plenty of time to talk to you. Stay with us. We will be right back.
This is Investor Resources, the program that sheds new light on your investment strategies. The lines are open at 1-888-312-5757. That's 888-312-5757. Or email your question to help at IRIradio.com. That's help at IRIradio.com. Don and Perry will be right back.
So I'm telling you right now, only the strong survive. Only the strong survive. Hey, you gotta be strong. You better hold.
Well, the strong companies do survive, and there are an awful lot of weak ones in our economy right now. Some of them were weak before COVID showed up, and they are weaker yet as bankruptcies continue to be filed in increasing numbers. A lot of major airlines are fighting the problem of trying to stay out of bankruptcy in our country. As I mentioned in another segment, the ones in south of the border, the government's just letting them file bankruptcy, saying, hey, you know, it's capital business. You guys have to figure out how to run it and survive it yourself. And we need to figure out where that's going on in the United States. Part of this is just, we've touched on this in the past, but when I look at these charts that we're going to go over in the webinar today, Perry, we ended up with the Fed pumping a lot of money into the system, quantitative easing, and companies got that money, and they turned around and said, hey, look at this. We can buy our stock back, make the stock price go up, and my bonus goes up. What a deal is that? It's free money. And now they need the money. Instead of having bought the stock, they should have been selling it and raising their own cash. Now they want the government to bail them out. And the question is, do we taxpayers really want to do that when it was a bad management decision in the first place that led many of them to be in this financially difficult position?
Sure. Is that something they should be rewarded for? You know, should we come back with more aid now to make sure that they stay in business? And for a lot of them, airlines included, that you were just talking about, that those there's a real question of whether they can all survive no matter what. And at what level? You know, they're going to be probably going to shrink. The air travel is probably not going to go back to pre-pandemic numbers anytime soon. That's another one of those things that has changed with the advent of working from home. It's also meeting from home and meeting someone online. And if you need to get together with someone who happens to be in England, you don't have to go there. You know, you just meet online. And so there's a lot of that business travel that's never going to come back to the same level that it was. And that doesn't bode well for all the airlines that existed when the lockdown started.
And a lot of corporate CEOs are saying, that's a big expense. We're getting by without it. Instead of doing this every month, maybe we can get by with a couple times a year. Well, that saves a lot of money. And there's all of a sudden digging down into where the money is spent is a lot more important than it was thought to be just a year or so ago. But we made the announcement, if you may have been watching TV or something, that AP is called the Pennsylvania for Biden. But one of the things that is interesting and I'm sure is going to be facing some more contested litigation is that I think it is in Pennsylvania where they figured out that the software they're using in some of their precincts has a calculation error in it, and that's the same software that is being used in 30 other states. Well, if the math is wrong, maybe the count is wrong. Who'd have thunk it?
That's amazing. It's amazing that we can't get voting down. You know, it's just something. And now it's going to end up in court, of course, because the president has vowed that he's not going quietly. And so we're going to be wrapped up in court here for a while, looking at things like that. And those are things that should get squared away. We shouldn't be worried about things like that. There shouldn't be questions about things like that, just about getting the vote counted. I saw a thing online talking about, hey, you know, in America's Got Talent, they can count 150 million votes in a commercial break. You know, what are we doing here? We can't do it in a week. You know, so what's happening here?
We should license the software.
I guess that's it. Yeah, it's a little more consequence to this vote than the one on who's the best singer. So I'm not sure it's that accurate, but there's got to be a better way than this.
So why is the market surging? So it dropped and then it's surging. Part of this is all tied to the blue wave. So if, in fact, Biden becomes President Biden, then the blue wave looks like it's back in play, which the market was responding to negatively. Higher taxes, less energy, less efficiency, more regulation. However, if the Senate stays in Republican hands, then there is a check and balance in place, which will make it difficult to get that stuff done. Plus, in the House, they lost a significant number of seats. What actually is happening here is that the public is waking up to socialism and saying, hey, that's not for us. And particularly if they're immigrants from Cuba, Venezuela, places south of the border, they've seen socialism and they don't want anything to do with it.
Been there, done that. Yeah, don't bring that here. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a conservative part of the Democrat wing that was objecting to that as a policy, but they didn't have a very loud voice. They may get a better hearing now that we are past the election and we know where those other seats are going to be. So the surge in the market is, if we have a free market, we don't have to worry about higher taxes. Higher taxes are not paid by corporations. Bernie Sanders, to the contrary, he's going to raise taxes on corporations. Corporations say, that's a cost of doing business. My taxes go up. My expenses go up. I still need profit. The price of goods and services goes up. People pay the corporate tax when they buy the product or service. There is no such thing as a corporate tax. The corporations are conduits to collect money from you in a manner that makes you unaware of how much money the government's sucking out of your wallet.
They're very good at that. That's part of their job, to make it seem as painless as possible to send your money to them. And that is part of capitalism.
So the blue wave is likely to be bad for stocks. And there may be some, like the green energy, the solar stuff, I mean, the electric car movement, those kinds of things may have some benefit from it because there'll be more money plowed into trying to make the system work. It's not working in California. They can't keep their air conditioners running. If they can't keep their air conditioners running, that also means the freezers and refrigerators aren't working either. It has a domino effect.
Sure.
The pollsters should probably be out of business.
After this year, it's pretty bad. Their performance 4 years ago in all the presidential polls was pretty bad. But they guaranteed everyone that they had fixed what was wrong. They understood what they should have been doing, and now this was going to be much better. And it was actually worse this year than it was the last presidential election. So I think people relying on polls for anything should decrease, but we'll see. It may not change anything, but they were off by huge numbers in this election.
So there are 538 different polls, and I'm sure you haven't read all of them, and neither have we. But they assumed that Biden win by 8%, and he would win the Electoral College by 158 votes. You need 270. And there would be 158 votes difference between Biden and Trump. It hasn't turned out that way,
no,
has it?
No, not exactly what has occurred. And so it's you know, there was a growing trend in the last election, and obviously a bigger one this time, that it's your patriotic duty to lie to pollsters always. Do not tell them what you're doing. Tell them the opposite of what you're doing, just to make sure that those people don't get the lowdown on everything beforehand, which is what people pay them to do. That's what they're supposed to be able to produce, and they just can't any longer.
So as far as I know, at this point, the Senate is still in Republican hands, though there are still a couple of contests that are not yet resolved. But if that's the case, that means we have 2 years of divided Congress where they can't raise taxes. They aren't going to get to spend a whole bunch of money irresponsibly, we hope. At some point, they're going to spend money anyway. I won't go down that rabbit path. But
we're almost out of time. Yeah, we don't have time for that rant. So,
yeah. a divided Congress basically means we can kind of do business as usual. We don't have to worry about a lot of interference. But once it moves into a blue wave, at least as we have been told running up to the election, there's a whole lot of change that's coming our way. And most of it is not good for the economy. But that's just the bottom line. Socialism does not work. And people point to Europe and say, but it works over there. Well, the only reason it works over there is because since the end of World War II, they have not had to pay for their defense. The U.S. taxpayer has. And President Trump is the first one who stood up and pointed the finger at them and said, you guys got to pay your own share. If without having to pay for their own defense, they could spend money frivolously and survive. But when you put the whole budget together, it takes a lot more to do that. We have a webinar that starts in 15 minutes. And I'll go to IRIradio.com to register. We'll be off the air here shortly, but we will be back online on your website. We're going to talk about the impact of the election and where the market stands, what we see going forward. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. But for right now, we're keeping our seats warm to talk with you. IRIradio.com.